Welcome to Family Church, the Corey edition. Glory to God. I'm excited to be here. I hope you are too. God's got a good plan for us tonight. Amen. You know, I was seeking the Lord on which direction to go and for the Corey Church. And man, it just came so easy. And I'm just so thankful for what he has for us. Amen. And it's interesting that what he has for us. I was actually first, there was a message I preached in Mayville last week. And at first I thought, you know, I was thinking maybe I was kind of looking into that, you know, if that was the direction that I was supposed to go. It kind of seemed like there was something there. And there wasn't something specifically there. That message was not what I was supposed to preach, but in looking over, going over my notes for that message, I got the message for this message, or for tonight, amen. And so I'm really excited for what God has for us, because I believe that it'll help us, and I believe that it's a word in season, praise the Lord, and if you believe me too, believe that too, glory to God, then you will receive much tonight. I believe that with all my heart, praise God. I, for one, am very excited to be in the pulpit tonight, very excited to be preaching. I know that Pastor Scott was here last week, praise the Lord, but he took good care of you. I listened in, amen, just just to check up on him, you know, make sure that he was doing right. But no, I'm just kidding. Pastor Scott is phenomenal. I would trust him with any of my people. I trust him with my own family, praise the Lord. He's just a wonderful, wonderful friend and brother in Christ, glory to God, and I'm just so thankful that the Lord has connected us. And it also helps that when I leave or I have to be out of the pulpit, that I know that I can have somebody there that is trustworthy, that has my heart, amen, and that has the Father's heart, most importantly. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight's message is called Tune In or Tune Out. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about hearing from God. And we're going to be seeing some things about hearing from God and the importance of hearing from God. And maybe not exactly the way that you think about. But tonight we're going to be talking about the desire in us to stay hearing from God. You know, one of the things I've noticed in Christianity, a lot of times you see this sometimes in the older generation, people have been church for all their lives, that a lot of times they'll get towards the end of their life, they'll start thinking, you know, or start kind of having the attitude that they can't be taught. And it's not, when I say the older generation, I don't just mean people who are 70 and above. Or 60 and above. I mean, people have been in church all their lives. I'm talking about people who have been around the Word of God. They start thinking that they know something. They start thinking that they have wisdom above, or they have the ability to know above others. And the problem with that is this. I'm not saying that we shouldn't grow in wisdom. Of course, the Bible tells us that we can and should. We should grow in our wisdom, amen? We should grow in our knowledge of the things of God. But having the knowledge of the things of God and hearing from God are sometimes different things. You know, the Bible, you know, we're going to see this in the Word tonight, but the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we know that hearing comes from hearing the Word of God. But praise the Lord, we need to be able to hear as we're hearing. Now, what I mean by that is we need to be people that learn to discern. Amen. I like that. Learn to discern. We need to be people that be able to hear in our spirits things that God's doing. Amen. Glory to God. We need to hear what God wants. But we also have to understand that how hearing comes. Now, hearing comes as a local body. People who get to the place where they don't think they need to be churched are people who have decided that they will not hear from God anymore. Because God can't truly speak to somebody that way, because he doesn't. God speaks to people through the methods and the means of the ways that he has connected us. Now, sometimes it's back and forth. Of course, you know, there's a lot, you know, we know obviously when a pastor is preaching or a minister is in the pulpit preaching that we're hearing a message from heaven, or we should believe that. If we're not believing that, if we don't believe we're hearing from heaven, we need to find a different place to be and be in a place where we do hear from heaven. Yeah. Glory to God. But we need to know that there's things in that. There's things that will be heard in the things that God will speak to us in our own lives. Praise the Lord, will align with that or line up with that. And then things that God speaks about in our own lives, God will speak things from the pulpit that magnify those things and bring those things about, amen, and to help us. But we have to be people that always are willing and able to hear. Now, it's not just enough that you sit there and listen. You need to hear. We're going to see this in the Word tonight, amen. We can determine in our minds that we know something, and that will limit what your heart can receive. Let me say that again. We can determine in our minds that we know something, and that will limit what your heart can receive. Now, even if we think that we have heard from heaven, we've been at our house, we've been faithfully praying, we've been in the Word, we've been going to church and all these things, but we can go and think that we've heard from heaven, we can determine in our minds that we know and not let go of that, and it can keep us from the revelation that God wants us to get. See, because what we see about through the Word of God is we see that no man gets everything all by themselves. That there's bits and pieces, and God has put us together as a body to all bring our bits and pieces. Amen? And the bits and pieces together make a whole. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. When I was younger, still do like to do this. I like to tear things apart. I don't always do it so much anymore, because one thing I learned when I was younger and would tear things apart is that when you tear things apart, you get a lot of bits and pieces. And sometimes if you're not real familiar with all those bits and pieces, they don't all go back together the same way. Amen. And so the bits and pieces by themselves, they don't mean much, but together they mean a lot. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start here in Revelation 2:29. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Revelation 2:29. And we're going to get some revelation.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to get some direction from God here tonight. Now we know this is Jesus speaking. He was speaking to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos. Amen. You know what's real interesting here? I'm going to share something. You want a little freebie, a little something to throw into the message? It wasn't planned. Glory to God. You know, John was exiled on the island of Patmos. Yeah. Now, if we know anything about being exiled, it's not something that one chooses. It's usually something that's chosen for them. He was in prison, amen? He was put into a prison. He was put in the island of Patmos by himself. It wasn't a place that was ideal. It wasn't a place he wanted to be. But now think about this. When John was there, the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord spoke some very important things. In fact, we get the whole book of Revelation based on his time in prison on the island of Patmos in exile. So what does this mean? What am I saying by this? We need to be careful when we just get angry because things aren't going our way. When Christians just get mad because everything doesn't seem just the way that we wanted it to seem, or seem exactly the way we thought it should be. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes things happen and God's going to speak to you in those times. Now, it doesn't mean that God forced him to be there. I'm not claiming that. But what I am saying is we need to trust God enough to know that if we are in a prison, exiled on the island of Patmos, that we have to be okay with God, trusting God that he will get us through it and out of it. But we have to be open to where God will speak to us. Amen? And one of the things I love about the Lord is that I've been learning more and more and more that the more that I know that God will speak to me, the more he speaks to me. And in places where I don't think that I didn't think before that he would, he does all the time. You know, we went on a few-day trip this week. My wife and my daughter and I, we got to get away, and we went to the Big Apple, praise the Lord. We're in New York City, and we're walking around New York City, hiking around the city, backpacking. We kind of backpacked there, praise the Lord. We took a bus. Don't ever take a bus to New York City. Take a plane, drive, do whatever you have to do. Horse, I don't care if you walk. Just don't take a bus, amen? Praise the Lord. But I'm just kidding. Do whatever you want to do, but I'm telling you, don't take a bus, praise the Lord. But we got there. We're walking around. We're having a good old time, but you know, the Lord dealt with me the whole time I was there about different things, and sometimes I didn't even know he was dealing with me, but I just didn't endeavor to have a heart to hear. Amen. How does this matter? Well, see, because if we're in a place of imprisonment, or if we're in a place where it's not comfortable, and we sit there and think that you know, this is a miserable situation. Actually, I had one this week. It was on a bus. I didn't plan on talking about this. I had absolutely no plan, but this is good. You're in Revelation 2:29. We'll get to that in a minute. Amen. But this, I had my own kind of exile. We got on this bus, and within about 15 minutes of it, and we had, first thing, to just to let you know, we had to get on the bus. We had to board the bus in Buffalo at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? So that meant that we got a few hours sleep, or we were supposed to, except I couldn't sleep. because I usually don't go to bed at midnight or after. And so when it came time to go to bed at 8 o'clock to get a few hours sleep, I wasn't ready to get sleep. And so we go up to Buffalo on zero sleep, and we get onto this bus. We didn't get onto this bus. We get dropped off at the bus station. And we're in this bus station sitting, and the time comes, and the bus doesn't come. Praise the Lord. And then so my wife gets on the horn after about 15 minutes, and they're like, well, this bus was coming from the border, and usually if they come from the border, they're delayed because, you know, you can't let anybody through the border fast, so you got to, especially a bus, so you just, you know, you take your time, and whatever they do, praise the Lord. I don't know why they don't figure that into the time, but hey, I'm not the bus company. So at any rate, the bus shows up about a half hour, 45 minutes late. We get on the bus, and there's already people on the bus. We did reserve our seats, which didn't do us a whole lot of good. The seats were terrible. And especially mine, I didn't find out till about probably figure it out till a couple hours in. But my seat was broken. It was slightly slanted forward. And the seats were small. If you've ever rode coach in an airplane, they make coach in an airplane look like first class. And if you don't know what first class in an airplane is, it's much better than coach. Glory to God. But it was terrible. Amen. And so I'm in this seat. And of course, we're driving through the night to New York City. And my plan is that I'm going to sleep the whole night. So I'm ready to walk around the city the next day, right? Well, that plan didn't come to pass because I couldn't sleep. Because every time I wasn't comfortable at all. But every time I even tried to start getting comfortable, the bus driver liked to, you know, do the thing with the brakes, you know, where you brake all the time. Praise the Lord, we're going on the highway, but braking all the time. Why am I saying all this? Because I'm building this is going somewhere, amen? And so every time he did that, I slid forward because my seat, now the non-reserved seats, they had cloth seats. And you might think, well, wouldn't it be better to have a leatherette or a pleather seat? And you think, but the answer to that is no, not when it's slanted slightly forward and the bus driver likes to put on the brakes, because now it becomes a slip and slide. And that's what I did all the way to New York City, as I slip and slid, praise the Lord, next to a guy who liked to take up his seat and half of mine, glory to God. So it was just fun. And this is how it was to New York City. I stayed up all night long. But by the time we left Buffalo, by the time we got to Rochester, which if you know the distance isn't too far, by the time we got to Rochester, I was literally thinking I was going to lose it. My wife was already looking for an alternative way to get home. But I was pretty sure that we were getting off in Rochester and figuring out a different way to get there. And it wasn't going to be a bus. I don't know how I made it through, but I did. But the Lord spoke to me about a lot of things about it. And I learned a lot. It was a miserable. We had a great time the rest of the trip. That was a miserable. One of the worst, and I'm not kidding you, worst on my flesh that I've ever been in. I rode in a plane 13 and a half hours all the way to Rio de Janeiro. It was equivalent of sitting in a high chair for 13 hours. And that was better because at least I stayed in one spot. Amen. But so why do I bring all this up? Because God showed me a lot of things about myself and about other people and other things. He showed me a lot of things that were really pertinent to hear. I bring this up because we just talked about John being in the island of Patmos, in a place of exile, a place that wasn't comfortable on the flesh. But God was speaking to him. And see, God can speak to us if we're listening, and he will speak to us and use examples like this in our life. We have to determine whether or not it's going to ruin our life. And so we have to determine whether or not we're going to get after it. Okay, so praise God. That was a good introduction. Praise God. So we'll get into Revelation 2:29. Jesus said here to John, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Glory to God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit is speaking. Now, when we see the Spirit speaking to the churches, we know here what's going on in the beginning of Revelation. There's letters to several different churches, right? Was it seven churches? Yeah, seven churches. There's a letter that goes out to each one. And what do we know about these letters? Each one has instruction for the churches. Yeah. And now we know that each church was a real church and that they were having these real problems going on at this time. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what God is actually saying. And we see this. Now, this was written down for our benefit, our admonition. We understand that too, that we also see this in different church ages throughout history. The same things that happen in the letter, we see and we kind of label a certain period of time as this is the church of Laodicea, or this is the church of Ephesus, or this is the church of, you know, whatever. So they go through and they use those, the church of Philadelphia, you know, different ones. They use these as examples throughout history, but we also know that it can pertain to us at any given point in time, that we can be, and the Lord has used them in my personal life, some of these scriptures to speak to me, and some of the correction that he gave the churches, he's used to give me before as he's dealt with me on different things. But see, somebody who doesn't have an ear to hear, somebody who's not tuned in, is somebody who's tuned out. It's somebody who's not going to hear what God is saying to them. And so we need to be of the mind and the purpose that we're always going to hear from God. Now, we don't have to get into some great theological debates. We don't have to necessarily know, you know, what king was where or what Israel did here or who did what or any of this stuff. But the thing is we need to get to a place where we can hear from God. Now, I'm not saying we reject the word. Of course, we need to know the word. But sometimes people get so word knowledge that they lose what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And it's important, important to understand this. The word hear means consider what has been said, or in other words, to give an audience to. Amen? And so we have to give an audience, we have to be an audience to what is being said. And, you know, you think about an audience, again, we're in New York and there's, you know, they have all the plays and stuff. We didn't go to any, the shows and Broadway and all that stuff. We've all heard about it. But those people that are sitting there, you know, they're not in one of those plays, you know, talking about what's going on in life and, you know, the bus trip on the way to New York. The people that are sitting in those plays, they're being attentive and they're listening because they know that they're there to hear something. Amen. And so we need to be the same way as we progress through our lives. We need to be people that are have an ear to hear, that we're always listening to what God has to say, always listening to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now we know that according to the New Testament scripture that we are the church of God. We are His temple. We are His church. And so when it says let he who have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, we could easily say what the Spirit is saying to us. What He says to us, and when does He talk to us? Well, He may talk to us in everyday situations. He may talk to us in everyday occurrences, but He talks to us as we come together, as we believe God, as we come together as a church body. He wants to speak to us and give us direction that is pertinent to our lives. This what a true spirit church does is they preach the direction of God for that body, for that group. Now, this is the thing that we know about in those churches. Again, each church got a different direction from God. Why did each church get a different direction? Because each church needed something different. You know what I have found that's so amazing? Since I have pastored two churches, neither one of them need the same thing at the same time. That God always has it. Even if I preach, there's been twice, I think, that I've preached the same message in both churches, and each time it was totally different. The same scriptures, but totally different. Why? Because God has something He wants to say to each group of people. And God brings us together, praise the Lord, so that we can hear what the Spirit says. Why is it so important? Because you can't know what the plan of God is. You can't know what the directive is if you're not listening. You know, there's a story of this Japanese man. It was in World War II, and he was hunkered down in a cave or something like that. And I think the man was there for 28 years after the war stopped. 28 years. He was there living off the land, just in that cave, still ready to fight, waiting to fight, because nobody had ever gotten direction to him that the war was over. 28 years. 28 years. Think about what he could have been doing in those 28 years. He could have lived. I mean, certainly was a young man when he went into the military. Could have lived a whole life in 28 years. And here he missed out on that just because he didn't get the direction. Think about how many of God's people don't get the direction. They live their whole life or most of a life. And they're like, wait, I had a woman come to us when we started our church in Mayville. We were up, she came, you know, I don't know, within a year, the first year we were there, she's still with us, glory to God. And this woman was, when I say older, she was, middle age or above, praise the Lord, and she's retired now. But so that gives you an idea of the age group that she's in. But when she came for the first time, she's like, I've gone to church my whole life, and how is it I've never heard these things? I'll never forget that. And we talk about it often, and I'm sure she wouldn't even mind me sharing it tonight. But we talk about that often. How could I go to church my whole life and never hear these things? Think about the things that a person can miss out on. You know, and of course, in that moment, that's what she was realizing. She's like, look what I've missed out on. Now, this is also, she's a precious woman of God and has grabbed onto and is determined she ain't going to miss out on any more. Praise the Lord. I feel the same way. There's things, if I had known this when I was 18 years old. See, God is speaking to us, but we need to be in a place to hear. But we have to understand, first and foremost, that we don't know everything. Now, God is going to speak things to our lives, absolutely, and I'm not discounting that. But what God speaks to our lives will always line up with the body and the group that He has us with, because He's taken us in that direction. And you have to consider this, that if it's not, then it's not God. Amen? Praise the Lord. In Revelation, the Spirit speaks to the individual churches what was necessary for them to thrive. Today, God is still speaking to the churches and what is necessary for them to thrive. When He has us preach in this pulpit, praise the Lord, or whoever God has directed for us to have in this pulpit, He has us do that so we can thrive, so you can thrive. Amen? Glory to God. Turn with me to Romans 10. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we want to be people that hear what the Spirit is saying, and they're open to it. But we can close ourselves off, the ability off, if we start thinking, man, I've got this figured out. There are things today that I minister on that are totally different than things that I ministered on when we first began, things I didn't know. Not that I was preaching wrong things or something like that, but there's always increasing revelation. There's things I minister today. I had no idea. There's approaches I take today that are totally different. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now look at this in Romans 10, 15. Some scriptures that I love here. Well, let's start in verse 14, actually. Let's just back up one verse. It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so we see right here in this very scripture, Paul is posing this question to the Romans. Amen? But see, you know, we automatically go to, and in context it's kind of leaning us that way, we automatically go to that this is talking about people who are unsaved, and that is true. But that's not just to those who are unsaved. This is also because, this is about being taught right too. There are things that come out of the pulpit at any giving service that you didn't know before. There are things that are revelation to you. There are things, or things that will be deeper revelation to you. Maybe you knew it, but there'll be something added to it. How do I know that? Because I know, as a minister of the gospel, as I sit down and get into the Word, God speaks to me every single time. Every time I open the Bible and I read it with a heart to hear, because I have a heart to hear, every single time, God shows me something I didn't know before. He shows me something from a different angle, or He increases my knowledge of that thing, or makes me understand it on a deeper level. Amen? So if God's doing that with me, then I know every time I minister, it's got to be the same for you. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't think that's true. You don't have an ear to hear. It isn't because God isn't speaking through me, or God wouldn't speak through me. I was my wife and I were, I think we were talking about this on the way down. I said, you know, in the Old Testament, the Lord spoke through a donkey. The donkey was nothing. The donkey was nothing special, wasn't trained or anything like that, but the Lord used it. Praise the Lord. So I can at least be that good. Amen. I can be at least as good as a donkey. No, I'm saying the King James Version. Praise the Lord. The New King James Version, not the King James Version. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But he can at least use me. So if we know, Jesus said that when Jesus was coming into when he was coming into Jerusalem, and they said, you know, the people were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the Pharisees rebuked him, and they said, get those people to stop worshiping you and saying that. And Jesus said, if they stop, the very rocks will cry out. How much dumber can you get than a rock? Amen. Praise the Lord. So if a rock can cry out, then I can cry out as the voice of the Lord. Glory to God. We can all do it. And see, this is what we have to understand, is that it's very important. God will be delivering the things that we need. Sometimes I will say things you need or you know, but there will be things that you need in that moment that you forgot. Maybe the Lord will use a minister to remind you of something. You need to have an ear to hear. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I share you a little pastor privilege secret? Amen. This is something that you learn early on as a pastor, not because someone taught you. I mean, I was told it, but I didn't learn it just because I was told it. I had knowledge of it, but I didn't learn it until I actually experienced it. And when I experienced something, this thing I'm about to tell you, it was pretty eye-opening to me. But one of those things is that people will say an awful lot to you, and you can know what the answer is, and they're not getting it. You can tell them what the answer is, and they don't get it. And so you can preach the answer over and over and over again. I can look at most, I can tell you probably, I think 99% of the issues that have ever been brought to me as a pastor, I've known the answer within the first 30 seconds of the conversation. 99% of it. And probably the 1 or 2% that I didn't know, it was only because something was withheld from me by the person who was telling me. They were withholding information purposely because they didn't want to look bad. And when they do that, now see, God isn't going to just necessarily tell me what they would refuse to tell me. Why? Because God isn't a tattletale. If they don't want their help, then God isn't going to give it to them. See, this is what so many people don't understand. God is not just withholding help. He wants to give people help. But if people aren't willing to receive it, he ain't giving it out. He's not here, take something free and then trample over it. You know what I mean? You know those people, I talk about it anyways. I'm not saying it's never God or whatever, but you know, I'm not a big fan of Bible tracts, handing out Bible tracts. Why? Because whenever you see somebody handing out a lot of Bible tracts, go about 20 feet from them and what you'll find on the ground is a lot of Bible tracts. Most people don't care about them. They're a waste of time and money. Praise the Lord. It's just a lot of times that's the way that I look at it. Again, I'm not saying that it's never of God, but I'm saying most of the things that I've seen aren't from God. And I know it's just because it's not God's heart. Even when you read them, they're not generally not God's heart. They're usually some kind of religious mumbo jumbo that people who aren't saved aren't even going to look at, because why would they? It's bondage. They don't even know what they're talking about. I remember somebody gave us one. It was a family member, I think. Praise the Lord. They gave us a Bible tract just to, you know, for us to share with somebody else. And I looked at this and I was like, man, first of all, I'm uncomfortable giving this. I was uncomfortable as a Christian to get it. Now, when you know, when you're a Christian, you're uncomfortable to get something, there's either one of two things. Either you're a Christian who isn't living right, or you're a Christian who's living right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. There's one of two reasons. Now, you can check that real easy. You know if you're living right. I knew I was living right. How do I know? Well, because I was after the plan of God. I was pastoring church, you know, probably about to start another one at that time. I was the best that I knew. I was in the will and plan of God. I was submitted to other people, submitted to other ministers. So I knew that I was doing right that way, praise the Lord. And I had no sin or conviction, praise the Lord, that I was ignoring. So I knew it was in the will of God. You know that if you're in the will of God or not. Amen. And they gave it to me and I was uncomfortable to get it. And then I read it and I'm like, what is this stuff? I mean, I didn't even know what it was talking about. I'm like, what is it? You're handing this out to people that have no idea spiritually. And I'm not coming against Bible tracts, but I am coming against, you see, these are people that won't listen. I knew a guy, I sat with a pastor. We went out to dinner once with a pastor and his wife. He's a tract giver too. That wasn't this guy that gave me the tract, but this was a pastor who was a tract giver. And like I said, it always makes me a little bit uncomfortable. And so we're sitting at dinner with this guy, and he pulls out one of those stupid, have you ever seen the stupid Christian $100 bills or $20 bills or whatever they are? Have you ever seen those? And it looks like an actual bill, but then all it is, it's not a real bill. It's got some kind of like thing on it about how you can receive Jesus, which is great. I mean, I love the idea of telling people how to receive Jesus. But this guy loves to give these as tips at a restaurant. Only tip. This is what he gives as a tip. You know what the waitress does or the waiter does? That makes them hate Christians because that tells them how cheap Christians are. Listen, the only thing that's going to speak to that person is giving them a $50 bill that's real that they can spend. That will speak to a person. That will tell a person what a true Christian is. Yeah. See, a lot of Christians have problems with this stuff. But you know, these stingy, cheap Christians, that isn't the heart of the Father. But that's a person that doesn't hear. And then they wonder. This is also the same pastor as a pastor whose church is almost non-existent because he's not connected. Why do I say I'm not trying to bash the pastor, but I'm saying here's a man of God, loves the Lord, legitimately loves the Lord. I ain't judging him on that. He loves God. But his approach is all wrong. And you say, well, you're judging him on that. I'm not. I am judging the approach. And I'll tell you why I'm judging the approach. Because the entire world out there is judging your approach every single time you walk up to them. Every single time you try to witness to somebody, they're judging your approach. I'm going to tell you the first thing they judge. If you're a fake Christian that comes up to them with some kind of thing that you've memorized and you rattle it off to them, it ain't going to have much effect on people. You want to have effect on people, you start talking about what God's doing in your life. You say, well, I'm a Christian. God hasn't been doing anything in my life. That's because you're a Christian who's not listening. There will be change if you listen. And if you're not seeing change, you ain't listening. I'll just tell you the truth. If you're sitting in a church and your life ain't changing, the reason it's not changing has nothing to do with God. It's either it's not being preached or it's you're not listening. And I'll tell you what, if you sit in a family church, it's being preached. How do I know that? Because I know it is. I know, because I preach the message and I get convicted by it. I preach the message and I want to change. Amen? What does that mean? That means the Spirit of God is working on us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God will call us up higher. He's always calling us into more. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? See, Christians don't believe in him. They don't believe in a God who's prosperous. Christians don't want to give out because they feel like, well, I don't know when I'll ever get it back. You don't know your God. The reason you're not giving out is because you don't. So you need to go sit under somebody who's going to tell you about a God who makes sure that you always have a supply for every good work, just as it says in Philippians. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, anyways, verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. This is what a lot of people don't remember. When it says, how shall we preach unless they're sent? This church wouldn't exist unless Mayville sent it. Yeah. You know, my wife had said this before, and it's true. We don't have like some organization backing us. We don't have 1,000 other churches that are paying tithes and offerings and bringing the money in to support this church. You got another church, praise the Lord, that is doing it, that is taking care of it, and not another big church, not a big organization. What is it? It's the heart of God. There are people who are following the heart of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you can't be sent unless someone sends you. Amen? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. What is the one who's preaching bringing? Glad tidings of good things. We're teaching you about a God who will change your life. We're teaching you about a God who will not leave you where you're at. We're teaching you about a God who always wants you to go higher, that wants you to learn more, that wants you to be stronger, that wants you to be healthier, that wants you to be prosperous, that wants you to have a plan in your life, a plan that you can actually accomplish. A God who wants to see you be productive in life. Praise the Lord. Isn't there anything, there's nothing worse in my mind than being unproductive. I hate being unproductive. I have to feel a sense of accomplishment when I do stuff. Sometimes that's why I rush things, because I get a little bit of a sense of accomplishment. You know what I mean? Amen? If you don't sand the drywall enough, you just get the paint on the walls, it looks finished. Well, almost. It looks finished sloppy, but you know that sometimes I do that, and then you have to go back over and fix it later because you were too anxious to get. But you want to feel that accomplishment. Like, man, sometimes when you're doing the boring stuff, it's like, man, I just do this and do this and do this, you know, and there's no end. But you want to get to the end. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. How beautiful are the feet who bring glory to God. And that's a part that I want to focus on there too. People who bring. Now, if you're bringing something, glory to God, that means there's something to be received. The minister, when they're bringing something, as a minister brings something, as they prepared a message for the people, they're bringing something to be received. But in order to be received, you have to be a person who hears, and not just a person who can actually physically hear. Because physically hearing doesn't mean a whole lot. It doesn't do a whole lot of good if you just physically hear. You know, we were in an art museum, and I saw something that was interesting. It was kind of a question to me, and maybe I don't fully understand it, but there was a group that went through of people that were blind. We're in an art museum, and I didn't understand this because you can't touch anything. So it's like, you know, they're going there to experiencing it somehow. But how many know that when you're in an art museum or something like that, when a person who can see is going to get more out of that experience than one who can't. I'm not saying it's pointless to take somebody who's, you know what I'm saying, but the reason I'm bringing that up is the idea that if you can see, you're going to understand it a lot more. If you've never seen what the color blue is, how could I describe it to you? You know what I mean? And so it's the same thing with hearing. You can sit there and hear, but if it's not getting into you, if it's not being changing you, if it's not being soaked up by you, glory to God. If it's not producing what it's meant to because you're resistant to it, just because you sat and listened to it, doesn't mean that you were an audience to it, that you understood it. You know, I've had that happen before. Have you ever sat through there's been movies like this too. How many times have we sat through a movie and about 15 minutes into it, I say to my wife, what the heck is going on? I don't get it. I don't know. There's been times and it's like, it's about to lose me. And I'll say that too. It's about to lose me because I've seen this much and I still can't figure it out. And when I got this far into it and I can't figure it out, it's not doing me any good. Well, the same thing is sitting in church. If you're sitting in church and you're not hearing, and we're not talking about hearing, but you're not hearing, it's not getting into your heart. It's not producing something. You know, one of the things I love about sitting and listening to a message, one of my favorite things when I'm on the feeding end of the spectrum, amen? When I'm out there sitting like you, like bumps on the logs, praise the Lord, out there in the peanut gallery, glory to God, and I'm listening to the message, I love it when the minister is up there preaching and they're giving the word, and then all of a sudden there's something that comes down and it's just, I feel it go right down inside me, and I'm like, woo! I'm like, oh, that's good. I want to get up and run around. And sometimes I start writing it. And I'm like, I'm even starting to get a little stressed out because I'm like, I don't know if I can write down this all the revelation I'm getting from this. Praise the Lord. That's someone who has an ear to hear. Praise the Lord. We need to sit like in the places that we're at with that ear to hear, with that desire. And that's where it begins, is that desire that I want to soak as much out of this as I possibly can. You know, one of my favorite meals to eat is sushi. I know a lot of people might think it's weird, but man, I love sushi. Not when it's bad, only when it's good. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about gas station sushi. I'm not talking about the frozen section going to gas. I'm talking about fresh, good sushi. I love it. There's nothing like it in the world, in my opinion. Amen. Well, one thing I do when I sit down and I've ordered my sushi, actually, as I'm sitting down ordering, I feel that excitement coming. Man, my mouth starts watering, you know, I could start tasting it. And listen, if you're a person who thinks that eating raw fish is just going to taste what you think eating raw fish would taste like, you're a person who needs to actually go try it with someone, because it's totally different. Amen. It's not just doing it. Now, if you just don't like fish in general, you're probably not going to like sushi. But if you like fish, you would probably like sushi if you get past the dumb cough thoughts, you know what I mean? But anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm getting my sushi. I'm about to get it, and it comes out, and I start making the plan. Man, they set that sushi down in front of me, and it's got a tray. You know, their tray, they come out on trays, kind of, and they got all the assortment of whatever I ordered there, and just how arranged, real nice and pretty, and all that stuff. But I start making a plan when I sit down. I start making a plan, like, how am I going to eat this? I'm going to maximize everything. I know generally from the first bite of everything that I've had, the last bite of what I'm going to have. Why? Because I know the taste that I want left in my mouth. Amen? Because I'm a person who, when I want to maximize the most that I can get out of that. I, like I said, I have a plan. I know the taste that I want left in my mouth. How do you come to church? How do you read the word? How do you listen to the word? How do you approach God? Do you approach God like, oh man, I know something. I could be you. No. Approach God like this. Lord, I just want to know you more. I want to hear you more. You want the right taste left in your mouth, because there is nothing worse. There's nothing that tastes worse in this world than a Christian who is a few days too old. You know what I mean by that? Like, you know, there's nothing worse than, like, sushi is best fresh. I can tell immediately what kind, if the restaurant, how much business a restaurant does by the first bite of sushi that I have. Why? Because that's a food where freshness really matters. Listen, if the freshness is not there, it can be a place you don't want to touch it. You don't want to eat it. Because I will say this, you know, fresh sushi is safe, but unfresh sushi is not safe. Amen. Well, I've heard the stories, but we don't want that. Amen. But the same thing is with a Christian. When a Christian who is a Christian who hasn't, wouldn't hear, a Christian that wouldn't be taught the word, man, I'm just telling you the truth. The Christian that has their own ideas on how they're going to do things. Amen. They're not Christians that help very much. They're Christians who hinder. And I would say this, that the gospel has been hurt more by its own people than it has by any other opposition. How do we know that? Because when people are effectively preaching the word, when people are effectively doing the word of God, there is changes inevitable. Yeah. It cannot be stopped. Why? Because God has designed it to do that. It cannot be stopped. Period. Why do churches fail? Because the word is not put at a premium. Hearing the word is not putting it at a premium. Hearing God is not being put at a premium. Hearing the Spirit. Amen? We have to be people who are willing to listen all the time. Glory to God. Praise God. Going on here, we're still in Romans 10. Oh my gosh. Hallelujah. Well, we're still in Romans 10, 15, 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Notice that. Who has believed our report? Isaiah was a minister. He's a prophet, but he was a minister. Amen. Lord, who's believed what we've said? Who's believed what we've reported on? You know, the Fox News says, we report, you decide. It's the same way that a preacher's life is. I report, you decide. I report the word. I report what the Spirit tells me. I report what God, the direction that God has for the church. You decide whether or not you want what God has for it. But you listen, you can't be blessed aside from it. You can't be blessed going in a different direction than where God has connected you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And of course, we see that there's a scripture very familiar with. Amen. But it comes by hearing. And not just someone who sits and listens, but somebody who hears. So remember what I said in the beginning, somebody who gives attention to, they make themselves an audience for. Amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. We have ministry offices, but not all people will write scripture. Amen? We know that. Not all people are going to write. I may write a faith fix, but that's certainly not rewriting scripture. But that doesn't mean it's not pertinent. What is spoken in an individual church is pertinent to that group of believers. We have to understand that. This is why it is so important to know where you're called and then be connected there and to hear there. Because people that go to a church and they don't hear, what they're doing is they're missing what the Spirit is saying to them. And the Spirit is trying to get things over to them all the time. Amen? Just because what I may say isn't written. Now, it should be based in Scripture. But, you know, there may be some direction for us that maybe, well, this is what the Lord has us to do as a church. We're going to go in this direction, or we're going to do these kinds of things. Amen? Now, there's not specifically spelled out every step that a church must take. I don't know if I said it in this church or in the Mayville church. But one of the things I've learned about Scripture is this, is that when God isn't very exceedingly clear on what he wants us to do, then there is open to interpretation a little bit. Now, the principles are not open to interpretation. They're always what they are. But what we're saying is that God will give certain interpretations on things of directions of the church. Praise the Lord. Like when he wants us, what ministries do we have here? Well, we know that we have the main ministry of preaching and teaching, which is the most important part. But do we do this on this night, or do we do this on this night? It's up to God and the interpretation of that. Amen. But that's not something that you can stand in every church and say, well, because we're having church on Saturday night, you need to too. You know what I mean? That's what I mean by interpretation. I'm not talking about the word. I'm talking about the word that's being spoken from the pulpit. But it's just as important for our life. Amen? If it wasn't, God wouldn't have set it up that way. And God has always, from the beginning of time, had a preacher. He has had somebody who would teach and preach his people. Why? Except for when he was there with them, specifically. But even then, he sent out, Jesus was on the earth, but he still sent out other, what? Preachers and teachers. People that would go out and minister the word. Why? God was there. Shouldn't they all just go to him? See, this is the thing. God sets up things in different areas and sends people to different areas to do different jobs. And he will speak to them differently each and every time. Yeah. We need to be people that are hearing that. Yeah. We need to be people that are listening for that. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. I don't know if I'm helping you, but I sure as heck am helping me. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in Romans. Flip back to chapter 8, verse 26. Look what it says here. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Oh, glory to God. Do you have any weaknesses? The Spirit will help you. But it comes by hearing. The Spirit always has our answer. He's always willing to give our answer, but we have to hear it. Sometimes the way you're going to hear it is from another Christian. Sometimes the way you're going to hear it is from your pastor. Sometimes it'll be in a conversation, but you have to be willing to hear it. Amen? Glory to God. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. But see, this is why hearkening back to the conversation about being on the bus. If you're just miserable about something bad just happens, you're thrown in prison or whatever your thing is, and you're just unhappy, and you're just focused on how bad everything is, and not maybe that God's going to try to speak to you. See, the Spirit helps in your weaknesses. I would say that my biggest weakness that I've seen in a long time was spending that evening on the bus. I don't know. My wife knew. I mean, she's back there. She's like, she already knew that we were not coming back the same way we went. She knew it. Praise the Lord. Now, listen, if we weren't in faith, we're not people that could have chose a different way. We ended up flying back. Flying back was not on the agenda. Flying back is not cheap. That wasn't in the plan. That was up. But we knew we weren't going back the way we came. Praise the Lord. There wasn't many other options. Because we had to get back, amen? So here we are. We flew back. We had a happy flight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Things hunky-dory. Everything's fine, amen? Bus had a few extra seats. That's fine with me, amen? Praise the Lord. But, glory to God, where was I going? Oh, yeah. If I was so rattled by that, I could have missed everything that God was trying to show me. And, you know, God spoke to me on the airplane, too, about a bunch of things, amen? And then I got home and he spoke to me more because I wasn't going to stay rattled. Amen. But see, that's why it's so important that we got to try to get ourselves to not be rattled by every single wind that blows. We got to get over it. We got to stop being moved every single time the wind blows. And sometimes I'm just telling you the truth. Christians, man, oh man. Listen, if it didn't work out the way that you wanted it to, maybe you just need to spend a little bit more time listening to God. Maybe what you wanted to work out wasn't what God had for you anyways. Because I'll tell you this, if you're somebody who's after God and you're trying to accomplish something and it ain't working out, it probably isn't God. Because with God, all things, well, we're going to see this here. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, glory to God, hallelujah, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In case you didn't know, that is a reference to speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, amen. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for what? The saints, according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. When you just come up with your plan, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I've always wanted to do. So this is what I'm going to do. The Lord bless it. Are you being the called according to his purpose? Or are you being called according to your purpose? Well, see, a lot of Christians get stuck in that cycle, that there's just always my purpose, my purpose, my purpose. You know what I determined in life? I ask God for very little anymore for myself. I do. I just go before God and say, Lord, I don't even know what I want. I don't even know what I like. You know how I know this? Because there was something I wanted for a year. I mean, my entire life. And I finally got it, and I barely even use it. I barely even touch it. It was a four-wheeler. Just something I always wanted. It was big to me. It was something that I always wanted. I daydreamed about it. I tried to get one how many times? I don't know. Amen? I finally get it. Now I barely use it. I'm still blessed to have it, but it surely wasn't important as spending all that time thinking about why I wasn't getting it. Where is it? You know what I mean? Could be any desire in life. It doesn't matter. I have to be a four-wheeler. Be whatever it is. Whatever it is. You spend all this time just wanting to get it. Lord, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And the whole time you're missing the plan of God. You're like that person. It's like, how do I spend all my life? And you look back. If you have too many of those things, man, you just got a life that isn't going to be much fun. You're going to look back in your life and think, how did I miss what God actually wanted to do? Amen? Be called according to His purpose. Why do we get called according to His purpose? Because then we know that all things work together for the good. It doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter if the bus ride was bad. You know, I want to know something about this. The other day, several days before we went, I knew in my spirit that this trip was good for us to take. I knew it. Sometimes you'll know. You know, God will give you and tell you things that are good for you to do for yourself for no other reason than just to bless you. And that's exactly what this was. It was a reset for my wife and I to just be able to get away and have a little bit of a reset. Because when you run like we do, sometimes you need those. Sometimes you need them more often. It doesn't matter how many times you need them, because as many as you need them, God will provide them. Amen? Praise the Lord. But I turned to my wife about a week ago and I said, you know what? This trip is good. This is God. We're supposed to do this. I knew it. This was after we had already made the plans, after everything was all settled, you know, I knew it was good. Well, the first minute on the bus, I would have thought differently in my natural mind, right? And if I was somebody who stayed there, I could have thought, well, this trip is ruined. It's just going to be bad from here on out. Just because everything doesn't work out your way does not mean God ain't in it. Amen? God, all things work together. They work together for the good. Amen? You know what I learned? I learned that I can go one way but come back a different way. Amen? And that's fine. Sometimes plans will change. Sometimes it'll be more expensive. Sometimes you won't know how it's going to be taken care of. Doesn't matter. I learned that that's a possibility. Because you know what? Just as I had peace about going, I had just as much peace about not coming back the same way it went. And I'll tell you for one reason. Because I would have gotten back at about 5 o'clock this morning. And I would have been up all night long. Because I know I wouldn't have slept. Amen? Why? Because I was coming back on the same bus that it went out on. Would I have been ready to preach? Absolutely not. How refreshing would that have been? How about if I spent the days that we were there? I'm supposed to be on vacation. Spent the days that I was there sitting there thinking, oh, I was just worrying about that bus ride. Because I'm going to tell you what. Man, when I was there, I'm thinking about, I got 7 more hours. Are you kidding me? 7 more hours on this thing? That was 2 hours in. I literally counted the minutes until we got there. That's how bad it was. Just using this example. We all have these things. Listen, if I didn't experience it, we wouldn't have all this good preaching tonight. Amen? Listen, and it's over. Now I can laugh about it. It's in the past. But it didn't affect our week. It didn't affect anything for me after that. Amen? Glory to God. But I had to get my thinking right. And God's been working on my thinking for some time now. But He also revealed in that time, I'll just be honest with you, He revealed some weaknesses in me that I need to work on. It was very clear. And I knew, and I was like, all of a sudden God started showing me some things in Scripture just as I was sitting there. And I was like, yeah, I couldn't do that. I couldn't be like that. Because you know something? When Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, when they were chained into the stocks, they were in the inner prison, and they had been beaten. I didn't get beat. I went on that bus willingly. But I felt like I had been beat. And I wasn't feeling much like praising. I was having a hard time. I'm just revealing some of the things that I learned by this. And immediately about 4:35 in the morning, I started thinking about that, them being in prison. I started thinking about that account and I thought, would I be able to withstand that? And then I started realizing that the place that they were spiritually, that they had built themselves, that they had put down the flesh enough, that they had learned enough about God, that they got to a place that when they did get there, because I'm just going to tell you right now, we all talk about the revival, we all talk about greater things happening, but I'm going to be honest with you. That was happening back then. The church was never so as persecuted as it was then. Yeah. Guess what's coming when the revival comes? There's persecution going to happen. If Christians think that there aren't going to be Christians in jail, you're sadly mistaken. It's going to happen. Because we see sometimes there's purpose in that. Sometimes your beating will help set people free. And if, glory to God, I'm just telling you the truth. If it takes a beating to set a whole bunch of people free, I want to be at the place where I can receive that. I want to be at the place where I can do that. Again, not that it's God's will, but God will manifest his power in those times. And so if we're people who think that we can't be just a little bit uncomfortable in life, listen, the American church has a lot to learn. And one of those things is how to be able to endure. You know, I said to my wife and I were talking this afternoon, what if God called us to do that? I said to her, what if God called me to do that every single day, every single night, and then go preach in another town, but do it by bus? What if he called me to do it that way? I wouldn't have been able to. I'm just telling you right now the way I'm at. He was revealing weaknesses in me. He showed me weaknesses in myself. He's like, these are areas you got to work on. And of course, there's ways he'll be good to show you how to do it. But see, God isn't just going to say, oh, he's good, just say, oh, you're doing a great job. He will show you areas that you got to work on in your life. And we can be like babies, immature Christians, that sit there and go, well, I don't want to work on that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to, because I don't like that. Well, then we'll be Christians that never get used for anything. Right. Yeah. I, for one, want to be used. I don't know about you, but that's my plan. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I ain't going to get all that or all this. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to share some things, though, as we have close. Just go real quick. We'll end here in these scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2, 8 and 10. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, 8 through 10. It didn't go exactly the way I wanted or expected it to go, but it is going the way that God wanted it to go. And so I'm thankful for, but you know this, you know, our God is exceedingly abundant. You know, when an apple tree produces, an apple tree that's doing good produces, it produces way more fruit than any person can eat. Yeah. Amen. You know, I got some way more message here than any one of us could sit here and eat tonight. That's just God being good. I'm just realizing that when there's a bunch of message I don't get to, it just means God was overfeeding us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because it all came supernaturally. I wasn't seeking it out. Amen. I'm certainly not smart enough to do that. 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's a very important statement. If they had known what they were doing, if they had really understood, they would have never done what they did. But they were religious people. They were the religious ones that weren't hearing. They crucify God. Do you know how many other Christians will crucify us? Yeah. I'm just telling you right now. There's brothers and sisters in the faith that absolutely despise us because of what we believe. They despise us. Show me where that's written in Scripture. Well, I'll show you where it's written. It's where the Pharisees crucified Jesus. Am I comparing myself to Jesus? Absolutely not. But I'm just saying that when things are done right, that's where the persecution is going to be. The persecution always comes against what's why? Because the persecution is not of God. If we understand that, but see, you know, people won't know unless someone goes and teaches them, and somebody won't go and teach them unless they're sent. Praise the Lord. Persecution doesn't come from God. It comes to oppose God. So wherever God's working, there's going to be opposition, just so you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Amen? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Amen. So God is wanting to reveal it, but if we're not at the place of hearing, if we haven't put a premium on hearing God, in hearing direction, and being able to listen, if we haven't put a premium on these things, then we can't know the things that he's given. Right, right. We can't even know what he has for us. I'll just tell you this. Whatever God has for each one of us individually is way bigger than any one of us can imagine. Way bigger. Amen? And bless you a lot more too. Praise the Lord. Do you crucify what God is trying to do by making up your mind and refusing to hear? Do you crucify what God is trying to do by making up your mind and refusing to hear? For all of which God will show, there are a lot of things that God will not say specifically. He uses the body together. In other words, he'll give you bits and pieces of your life, but he'll confirm them in other places. The Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall anything be established. God is not going to give you everything you need to know for your life. He's going to put some other people in your life that can speak into your life, that have places to speak into your life, that will be able to help you see exactly what there is to do. But you can forego what God has for you by not being willing to listen. And so we need to hear this. And the number one place, I'm just going to be honest with you, and it's not because I stay in this position, but it's because it's truth and it's something that I've learned in my own life and still active in my own life. The number one place that God will confirm things in your life or deny things in your life is through your pastor. Yeah. Yeah. The number one place, the outward sources, the number one place it's going to happen is through your pastor. Your pastor will confirm or show that it isn't God. You have to be willing to listen, amen? If you're not willing to listen, you're not going to hear. Praise the Lord. He uses the body, the pieces together. When a hand is needed, he uses a hand. When a foot is needed, he uses a foot. He doesn't use a foot in a perfect body to do what a hand is supposed to do. Amen? Glory to God. Are you willing to listen? It is not enough to get the what. This is important. Listen to this. It's not enough to get the what. You also need to understand the why. But the understanding, that understanding, the understanding of the why, will not be possible without a heart for the what. Praise the Lord. Let me say this again. It is not enough to get the what. You also need to understand why. In other words, when God gives you direction, you need to get the direction. You need to know what to do. Amen? But you also need to learn to understand why. But the why is not going to come unless you have a heart first for the what. Right. Yeah. Now, what do I mean by this? If you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't like this plan, your heart is not for the what, you'll never know why. Right. Why? Because your heart's not for it. Right. Your heart never wants to know because you're not saying, God, I will do whatever you want. You know, we sing that song, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. Right. Listen, when you have that heart, when you have the heart, God, I will do absolutely anything that you ask me to do. Praise the Lord. He'll show you why. He'll show you why things happen a certain way. It's just like me. If I didn't have a heart after God, he'd never show me why I went through misery on the bus. You know what I mean? Praise God. Hallelujah. Have a heart for what God wants to do. If you have a heart for what God wants to do truly, then you'll be a person who will submit to his will easily. But if you struggle with it, you're going to need to work on it some. You're going to need to work on it a lot because God's got a plan. He's got a purpose, but you got to desire it. And you might not always understand why, but if you start off desiring the what will come. Amen?